look tipsy.
You know, when your PCV valve becomes clogged, your engine can't breathe properly. Result? You can use more gas and oil. Phillips Troparctic All-Season Motor Oil, with its patented detergent additive, helps keep your PCV valve running cleaner. Get it at any Phillips 66 performance stop. Phillips Troparctic All-Season Motor Oil. At Phillips 66, it's performance that counts.
In case you missed the action, a very good ball game this afternoon, and a little case of nip and tuck for a while. Giants finally pulled it out 8-7 over the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll play again tomorrow night. That game will be broadcast here on KSFO at 7:40.
And never get love. You'd better let love depart.
For you, sweetheart. Scraped up my knees. Skinned the heel of my hand there. What are you doing, Mary? Seductively standing there.
With a log in my hand.
With a log in your hand.
A sliver in my finger.
Logs are really strange things. You know, logs, they're the record of what we do. And Jack Riasco is a man whose name you hear mentioned from time to time on the radio station. He's sort of our Saint Bede. Wasn't Saint Bede the great monk that kept all the records of everything? You know, he The scribe. He's our scribe. And he takes it very seriously. And I don't mean, I continue to goof it up. Did I do something wrong again?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Okay. Well, Chief, would you sit down then, and I'll get to it as soon as I do a couple other things? There's an accident northbound on the Nimitz, north of Cypress Street in Oakland. There's an accident southbound on the Bayshore, south of Broadway in Burlingame, and I'm sure that traffic is a bit of a mess coming back from the ball game. A what? You may be stuck in the middle of it. If so, try breathing very deeply. You'll hyperventilate and be lightheaded, and it'll all go away. You've probably noticed a lot more new Chevrolets around the city these days, and you know why? Because Les Vogel Chevrolet, San Francisco's oldest and largest Chevrolet dealer, is stepping up the action. That's right. Right now, Les Vogel Chevrolet is making it easier for you to own America's favorite car or truck, Chevrolet. So right now is a good time for you to see, to drive, and to buy a brand new Chevy at Les Vogel Chevrolet. Before you consider any new car purchase, you'll find it's worth the trip to Las Vegas. What? Les Vogel. It looked like it said Las Vegas. well, either way. It's worth a trip to Les Vogel Chevy Island for a look at the entire line of 71 Chevys, from Impala and Caprice, the largest and most luxurious Chevrolets ever, to Vega, the little car that does everything well. Everything? At Les Vogel Chevrolet, you'll find them all in the largest showroom in San Francisco. Go in and see them. Les Vogel Chevrolet at Chevy Island, where Mission Street meets South Van Ness. Les Vogel Chevrolet, and of course, that kindly old man of the silver screen, Leslie Leasing. Your headquarters for Chevrolet cars and Chevrolet trucks. When you think Chevrolet, think Les Vogel Chevrolet. Okay? Have a nice commercial daydream. It's 5 o'clock.
KSFO in San Francisco.
KSFO News. A rather grim local labor situation. First up, Bob Holmes.
When negotiations broke off last night, many longshoremen were caught in a bind because of the many problems growing out of a strike. The Port of San Francisco is effectively shut down as the mechanics of putting a strike together continue. The only thing moving are military cargo or anything of an emergency nature, such as hospital and medical supplies. Several ships are tied up at San Francisco piers, with several riding at anchor in the bay, apparently waiting to see how long the strike will continue.
On the other side of the bay, Lloyd Edwards.
That Pacific Coast dock workers' strike has effectively shut down ports up and down the coast. An estimated 15,000 persons in California, Oregon, Washington, and parts of Canada are out. Like most coast ports, Oakland is no exception. It's completely shut down. I talked to one of the strikers.
How many men do you have out here at this port?
Well, we got about 5,000, I think. 4,800 to 5,000, something like that.
As far as you know, what are the immediate plans? Do you just plan on staying out until you hear something, or what?
Well, until we get reports from our strike committee and negotiating committee, we'll stay out until as long as it takes.
Other labor disputes are affecting about 45 Mill Valley City employees, Northern California carpenters and tunnel workers, copper workers, and the bus drivers who make the run back and forth from the downtown terminal to the airport. Legislators in Sacramento are still rushing to compromise on a new state budget. It might not come until tomorrow, but state employees aren't worried. This is the third year in a row that a new fiscal period has begun without a budget. The longest suspension bridge in the world, the Golden Gate, is now completely paid for. The last of the $35 billion in general obligation bonds retired today. And now the bridge district even has a surplus that it can spend on public transport. What about a second deck for the bridge? Director Dale Luring has an answer.
Oh, I don't think so for cars. The bridge board has authorized planning to consider the lower structure for an exclusive roadway for buses or for lightweight trains for transit purposes, but not for vehicles.
Angela Davis and Rochelle McGee will soon be allowed to meet with the Soledad brothers, the request approved by Judge Richard Arneson in Marin. Angela's attorney is saying the meeting is vital to her defense. The Nixon administration is pondering the new communist peace proposal introduced at the Paris talks today, saying it finds both good and bad elements in it, but anti-war senators are threatening to introduce new end-the-war legislation if the president rejects the offer. The communists say that all American prisoners and troops will be back home by Christmas if the offer is accepted. The chairman of the Armed Services Committee, John Stennis, says he doubts whether the draft law will be extended. It expired last night without Congress agreeing on a new one. No one is being inducted into the armed services, but all other draft operations are continuing. More news in a moment.
And now, returning for another season, Dr. Frank Morton with the Financial Hospital of the Air. Doctor, here's your first patient, Ted Pope.
Your problem.
Well, I wanted an investment, so I put all my money into Learn to Drive While You Sleep records.
Learn to Drive While You Sleep.
Yes. Say, here's a sample from the record. May I?
If you insist.
Turn the key and put the car in gear. Now you're ready to...
Unfortunate idea. Sounds like a case of bad investments. Have you ever heard of Bank of America's Investor's Passbook?
No.
Well, I'd like to prescribe that you go to any Bank of America branch and ask for an Investor's Passbook.
An Investor's Passbook?
It'll get your earnings up to a healthy 5.75% annual interest.
Is it safe?
The safest I can recommend. Start with a minimum of $500. Now, you must leave it for 2 years.
I see. Bank of America, Investor's Passbook, 5.75%.
I'm surprised you didn't try to learn to be a surgeon in your sleep.
I did try that.
Figures.
Bank of America, member FDIC.
And now a sky view of commute traffic from Warren Bogus.
Southbound traffic on Bayshore Freeway, very slow right now between Brisbane and San Mateo, probably at least partially due to an accident reported southbound near the Broadway Burlingame off ramp. Also, the Bay Bridge congestion, the approaches are congested in San Francisco, the mix of baseball and commute traffic there. No accidents on the bridge itself. All lanes are open. Marin County moving very slowly down the Waldo grade, but once again, all due to natural causes, we have no other accidents reported around the bay.
On Wall Street today, the market scored its third consecutive gain, although it wasn't as pronounced as in previous sessions. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up nearly 2 points. KSFO Sports reports in baseball in the National League. The San Francisco Giants defeated the St. Louis Cards 8-7. Pittsburgh shut out the New York Mets 3-0. Atlanta down Montreal 7-3. All the sports news at 5:45 on the Lon Simmons Sports Roundup. The local weather forecast calls for fair skies through Saturday, except for the usual fog along the coast extending inland tomorrow morning. Overnight temperatures in the 50s, tomorrow's highs in the 60s along the coast to the 70s inland. In the Sierra, fair and warmer through Saturday. And that's KSFO News. Herb Kennedy reporting. KSFO News is everywhere. The Mike Powell Report at 5:30. And now back to Terry McGovern. Thank you.
That's Chuck Mangione and Hill Where the Lord Hides. And it makes the time now 11 minutes past 5 o'clock. Hi, this is Terry McGovern with you. You're listening to KSFO in San Francisco. And wish you'd start paying attention, please.
If you just left work and are heading for a six-pack of great beer, the Miller Brewing Company would like to start getting you in the mood.
Right now, we've had a number of calls, people wanting to know, Warren, if Pacific States would possibly be able to arrange any kind of charter service, say, between here and Elko or Winnemucca.
Well, we certainly can. Elko is just a little past Winnemucca. Once you get past Winnemucca, you got it made. Then you're back.
See, you know all those towns. I don't know any
yeah.
of them.
Oh, yeah.
What's traffic like here?
Well, very good. I'm now you got me reminiscing. I've spent a lot of time in Nevada. I've got a lot of Nevada time, let's put it that way.
All right.
Traffic southbound towards the peninsula is in bad shape right now between Brisbane and Broadway Burlingham. There was an accident there. It's all cleared now. All lanes are open, but traffic's still very, very slow, beginning to gradually unravel. And the prophet of doom that I was about downtown San Francisco, traffic was a little overemphasized. Traffic not that bad, really. It's a little more congested than usual, but... we don't have the disaster that I thought we were going to have with all of our happy baseball fans and unhappy commuters. Traffic on the Bay Bridge approach is just about normal.
All righty, sir.
All right.
Talk to you again in a few minutes.
When you're friendly, you do things for people.
The roomy United Airlines 5-across coach seat is leaving for Chicago and New York. Take one on your vacation. There may never be a better time to join us in the friendly skies.
When you're friendly.
Travel agent to put you on the United Airlines to Winnemucca.
Thank you.
with that one. That's a great old, well, not old, but I guess a few years old anyway. Back to the old Peter Gunn series. Henry Mancini and I'm in Dreamsville, just about 16 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock.
From America's small car specialist comes a really low price for Pinto.
A better idea, whose time is now.
Ford knew you were tired of paying a higher price for little imports, so they gave you Pinto. With a homebred price of $19.19, and that price is $66 less than a Volkswagen 113. These are manufacturer-suggested retail prices for comparable models. Dealer preparation charges, if any, $105 destination charge, state and local taxes not included. Pinto's not only $66 less than the Volkswagen, Pinto needs only half the oil changes and one-sixth the chassis lube. So when you buy Pinto, you not only save in the short run, but in the long run, too. Pinto!
A better idea, whose time is
now. Pinto, 1919 at your Ford dealers.
The weather for the Bay Area. Hold on, I lost the weather. Here it is. Fair through Saturday, except for the usual fog along the coastal areas, extending inland tomorrow morning. Overnight temperatures in the 50s, tomorrow's highs in the 60s along the coast, and the 70s inland. That's a dirty trick. Sneaking up on me like that and blowing your horn. It's happening now. Shell's number one tire sale of the year. Right now, your Shell dealer is offering you across-the-board savings on Shell's own good mileage tires. You'll find the size and quality you want at the price you want. No matter how many tires you need, a spare, a pair, or a whole new set, check out the special low prices with your Shell dealer today. Cash in on Shell's number one tire sale of the year at all participating Shell stations. Little fairy tale time. Are you all ready? Gathered around your little crystal sets, huh? Okay, kiddies, let's pretend. Once upon a time, in a land far away, there dwelt a beautiful princess by the name of Rapunzel. Rapunzel was very, very lonely. She had a peaches and cream complexion and eyes as blue as the sky. Her crowning beauty, however, was her beautiful long blonde hair, which had never been cut. One day, as she was out walking in the palace garden, she was carried off by a jealous old witch. The witch took Rapunzel to a high stone tower and locked her in. The tower was so smooth that no one would be able to climb up its sides, and so tall that there was no ladder tall enough to reach the top of it. It had no door and only one tiny window, and this was located at the very top where Rapunzel was kept. Poor Rapunzel. For months, she languished in the tower without hope of rescue. Every day, the witch would come to check up on Rapunzel to make sure she had not escaped. The witch would stand at the bottom of the tower and call up,
"Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair."
That hurts you when you do that? And immediately, a huge blonde braid would tumble out of the window. And up the witch would climb. One evening, just as the witch was calling out to Rapunzel to lower her hair, a handsome young graduate of a nearby barber college came riding by. He saw Rapunzel at the window and immediately fell in love with her, hair and all. When the witch had gone, he ran to the foot of the tower.
"Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair!"
he cried. Out tumbled the blonde braid and up he climbed. Imagine Rapunzel's surprise when the handsome young man appeared at her window instead of the witch. Oh, it's my line. I'm sorry.
"Come away with me," he cried. "I will marry you and take you out of this tower forever."
Rapunzel smiled sweetly.
"Chauvinist pig,"
she cried, and whipping out a pair of shears, she snipped off her hair, with her would-be suitor still clinging to it. Down he fell till he landed with a crash at the bottom. And he told everybody in the nearby village, "Don't mess with this chick. She's not working with a full deck." And so no one did. And Rapunzel lived happily and liberated ever after. I didn't get that. How was she liberated if she was still in the tower?
Well, it's a whole spiritual thing. So you have to go into, you know, into her mind. She's been in this tower for a very, very long time.
She is nuts. We're dealing here with a psychotic person.
Actually, if you want to call it that, we would not classify her that way.
You wrote this, right?
Yes.
Then I'm dealing with a psychotic person.
We wouldn't classify me that way.
Thank you.
summer storm, the cool, clean breeze, how safe you felt. It was a time like no other time. There's a beer like that, too. A beer that does it like no other beer. Busch. The best barley, the finest hops, and plenty of time. Remember.
Minutes past 5 o'clock. I feel like I'm in the Tonga room with all that rain. I want to talk to Warren Bogus once more. At least once more, possibly even twice more. Hello, Warren.
Sorry.
What's traffic like?
I'm over the Nimitz Freeway right now, and apparently they're having about the same luck that everybody else is around the bay. It's slow between the airport and about Washington Avenue overpass in, just before Hayward. But once again, all due to natural causes, there are just a lot of people on the freeways this afternoon, a very popular place to be, apparently. But as of now, the California Highway Patrol and ourselves are reporting no accidents, just awful lot of folks.
When you think of a trip to Dallas, you probably think of Delta Airlines. Most people do, because Delta flies 4 nonstops a day to Dallas. And, of course, Delta also flies nonstop to Las Vegas. In fact, Delta has a new mid-evening departure for Dallas that flies nonstop to Las Vegas first. For reservations nonstop to Dallas and Las Vegas, too, call one of the professionals at Delta or see your travel agent.
Delta is ready when you are.
Reservation, that's done by the Raiders. Time is 26 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock.
Some of the most popular cars in America today are the little economy cars. But as popular as they are, there's one complaint that many people have about them. They aren't very powerful. We'd like to tell you about the American Motors Gremlin and Hornet. The Gremlin is the smaller of the two, the subcompact. But as small as it is, it gives you more cylinders and horsepower than the Pinto or Vega. The Hornet, our compact-sized car, gives you more, too. It has a bigger standard engine than the Maverick, Duster, Comet, or Dart. That alone may make the Gremlin and Hornet better buys than the competition. But right now, your American Motors dealer is making the best possible deals around. And the Gremlin and Hornet are even better buys. So before you decide on any compact or subcompact, why don't you take a look at the Gremlin or Hornet? The little cars with the big engines.
For the best deals of the year, see Gabrielson American across from the SP Depot in Burlingame. Or American, what is that? Avenue American, Van Asset, California, San Francisco. Could my eyes be failing? Jerry Thompson just said to me, he said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of my body. How many times have we said that? How old are you, Jerry? Really? I didn't know you were going to live that long either. What do you think, Fred?
This is Freddie Meyer, your weather prophet, bringing you a word of caution from the Roofing Industry Promotion Fund. Watch out for the man who offers to fix your roof in the evening or on the weekend. He may be a fly-by-night operator.
Yeah, well, that's the guy I'm talking about, Jerry Thompson.
The professional roofing contractor is licensed by the state. For your protection, hire a professional. Ask if his employees are trained union help. He will give you a 2-year guarantee on re-roofing. The fly-by-nighter will promise anything. Make sure you hire a licensed contractor, one you can depend on to stand behind his guarantee.
Well, all right, Freddie, if that's the way you want to look at it. It's almost 5:30. You're listening to KSFO in San Francisco, and I have one more thing to remind you about, and that is this, ladies and gentlemen. The Sahara Tahoe Hotel presents Liberace. Your old Liberace, huh? There he is. Through July 5th. Call for information, the toll-free reservation number, and, you know, get in there and see old Lee, Sahara Tahoe Hotel. And I understand that he's now appearing in red, white, and blue hot pants. You never hear him saying, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of my body. He does. I'll get you some candelabras, Thompson.
KSFO, San Francisco.
Where's Mike? Mike, I thought, was going to do a duet with me. Isn't he in tonight?
Well, I don't know what happened to Mike Powell. I could have played 3 more records if I hadn't known he wasn't going to show up. But do you want to do our... we could do a little audition or something.
Hi, neighbor. Hi, neighbor.
We're here to do the show.
How are your souls? Hi, neighbor.
Hi.
Huh?
I don't think they like it.
Clear the engineer's room, but I still don't see Mike Powell. I'm just going to go ahead and introduce him, and then we'll see what happens. Somewhere out there is Michael Powell...
The roll was just pulled
news.
Out.
Here he is. There he... passed out.
The Mike Powell Report. Brought to you by the 15 Bay Area branches of the Hibernia Bank. When that other bank forgets your name, remember them. The people at Hibernia.
You might say we have a few strikes on our hands today. I'll say we have a few strikes on our hands today. Every port on the Pacific coast is, to all intents and purposes, shut down tight by a walkout of 15,000 longshoremen. They are continuing to load and unload military cargo, the mail, and passenger ships, otherwise zero. Prospects for a quick settlement, terrible. This is the ILWU's information director, Sidney Roger.
The union leadership, Harry Bridges, above all, has been stressing all this time we've been negotiating to the membership that longshore strikes traditionally tend to last a long time.
Other strikes have shut down the West's entire copper industry, halted huge construction projects, including BART, left travelers in San Francisco without buses to the airport, and in Mill Valley, half the town's 80 non-police employees are on strike because the city council has refused to negotiate with them. Over in Paris, North Vietnam and the Viet Cong have handed the United States a new 7-point Vietnam peace plan, and they say if President Nixon accepts it, all American war prisoners and fighting men will be home by Christmas. The White House says the plan appears to have positive as well as clearly unacceptable elements and promises to give it careful consideration. Comment from Senator Birch Bayh.
Well, this proposal is specific, and I think it will serve as a true test of what the administration's policy in South Vietnam really is. Are we concerned about the release of the prisoners and ending the war and stopping the fighting, or are we concerned about propping up the Q regime?
To Mrs. James Evans of Alameda, whose Navy pilot husband has been missing in action in Southeast Asia for more than 6 years, it really is hopeful sounding.
You know, one thing in Korea, they met and met every week, too, and then one time something was proposed, and in 3 weeks, the communists responded. They released 6,000 prisoners before the war was over. So these things always, there's always a hope that that's the point of the negotiations.
But she says the prisoner of war question and withdrawal are separate issues, and she's critical of several legislators, notably Senators Edward Kennedy and Vance Hartke, for trying to tie the two together to use the POW issue as a political football. Then there was Secretary of State William Rogers with an appeal to the press today about the Pentagon Papers.
We hope the press will recognize an obligation to refrain from the publication of information which would harm the security of the United States.
Meanwhile, Attorney General John Mitchell was saying the government will prosecute all of those who have violated federal criminal laws in connection with disclosure of the one secret Pentagon report. The House Commerce Committee, in an unprecedented vote, is asking the House to press contempt of Congress charges against CBS President Frank Stanton and the television network for refusing to turn over film used in the documentary The Selling of the Pentagon. And Senator John Stennis of Mississippi is casting doubt over whether Congress will extend the draft law or whether, through inaction, will force the Defense Department to rely on a volunteer army. The law expired at 12:01 a.m. today, and the nation's draft boards, their legal authority expired, have halted all inductions, but continue other activities such as registration, classification, and physical. Judge Richard Arneson in San Rafael has agreed to a summit meeting of black militants involving Angela Davis, Rochelle McGee, and the three Soledad brothers who were accused of killing a prison guard. And over in Sacramento, legislative negotiators are nearing agreement on a budget certain to exceed $7 billion as state government sails into the third straight fiscal year without a spending program, while the Berkeley City Council, stalled by disagreements between conservatives and radicals, is entering their new fiscal year without a budget today, but they did agree on a $2 million emergency appropriation. More news coming up after this from Hibernia Bank.
When your banker looks through ya like he never knew ya, remember all banks aren't the same. At Hibernia Bank, you will find we say thank you and we know your name.
Summertime, the good old summertime, is a very good time to do some work around the house, you know that. Adding rooms, painting, putting in a pool, redecorating, whatever. And Hibernia Bank now has money available for home improvement loans. So call the nearest office and ask about a Hibernia home improvement loan. The rates are surprisingly low. In fact, you will not find any lower rates. Hibernia, member FDIC. Rubberneckers, attention, here are some vicarious thrills for you as we scrutinize the current freeway situation now with the expert help of Warren Bogus.
Well, the freeway system is a very busy place this afternoon. We've got a laundry list of slowdowns. The Bay Bridge approaches in San Francisco still quite slow with a mix of baseball and commute traffic. Southbound commuters moving towards the peninsula past San Francisco Airport finding very slow going. In Marin County, the Waldo Grade a little bit slow down as far as Richardson Bay Bridge. And in Walnut Creek, northbound through the Walnut Creek interchange on Interstate 680, the merge there causing some problems. But at the present time, we have no accidents to report, just an awful lot of people.
Next, everything you always wanted to know about nuclear power plants, but were afraid to ask. Today's question from Mrs. Y.R. of Petaluma. What do we do with all the radioactive garbage that's accumulating in these reactor cores? Good question. Terrific question.
One of the things that needs to be remembered here is what we do with radioactive garbage
is irreversible fouling of the environment. There's no way to backtrack once you've let it out. No way at all. No way to make it disappear.
That's Dr. John Goffman of the Lawrence Radiation Laboratory. His specialties are nuclear physical chemistry and medical physics. He is an MD as well as a PhD.
We simply, at this time, do not have an adequate method for handling these radioactive waste.
And that's Dr. Arthur Tamplin. He's also at Lawrence, a group leader in the biomedical division there. His degrees are in biochemistry and biophysics.
We're 25 years into the operations of the Atomic Energy Commission, and they have not, as of yet, devised an adequate system for handling the radioactive waste. That shows you that there is a significant problem here. The Atomic Energy Commission asked the National Academy of Sciences to do a study of their own waste storage and disposal practices at their major sites. Now, if anybody should know how to do this, you would expect it should be the Atomic Energy Commission. The National Academy of Sciences submitted their report to the AEC in May 1966. The AEC immediately suppressed the report, didn't make it public. It was just in the latter part of 1969 that Senators Muskie and Church forced the AEC to release that report by screaming about it on the floor of the Senate. And the report was highly critical of the Atomic Energy Commission. It had two major conclusions. One, that not a single one of the present sites for the storage of radioactive waste that the Atomic Energy Commission has is in a suitable geological location. Not one of them. The second one is that the present practices of the Atomic Energy Commission in terms of disposing of intermediate and low-level waste and all matters of solid radioactive junk would eventually result in the serious fouling of man's environment. So here we are, some 25 years down the line in the nuclear age. We have vast quantities of radioactive garbage that we haven't devised a system, adequate system for handling. We're beginning to produce this garbage at an ever-increasing rate. We're only compounding the problem. So the critics of the nuclear power industry say, let's not make any more garbage until we find out whether we can handle what we already have.
None of the critics of nuclear power have said, let's close this option forever. It's possible we might one day need nuclear power, but there is nothing that justifies this rash stampede into a technology where we don't have all the key answers that are absolutely essential if we're to preserve a livable world. And so we feel that now is the time for a moratorium on any further construction of nuclear plants so that these critical issues can be really addressed. Instead of a public relations answer that we just need fantastic amounts of power, we ought to look at the question of what power do we need for a decent quality of life consistent with keeping a livable environment. That question has never been seriously addressed. Now is a very good time to take stock and see where we ought to be going instead of rushing blindly into a technology from which we may not be able to walk away from. One of the things that needs to be remembered here is what we do with radioactive garbage is irreversible fouling of the environment. There's no way to backtrack once you've let it out. No way at all. No way to make it disappear.
Dr. John Goffman, Dr. Arthur Tamplin of the Lawrence Radiation Lab, and co-authors of a new book called Poisoned Power.
When your banker looks through ya like he never knew ya, remember all banks aren't the same. At Iberia Bank, you will find we say thank you and we know your name.
The people at Hibernia hope you have a good, easygoing vacation this year. So do I, as a matter of fact. So they've allocated a certain amount of money for vacation loans. Money that's available for people who simply want a little extra to take care of vacation expenses. The rates are low, L-O-W. In fact, you won't find any lower. So before you go on vacation, look into Hibernia Vacation Loans. FDIC. The Golden Gate Bridge, still one of the wonders of the West, is all paid for today with an oversized final check in the amount of $2,860,000. And State Attorney General Evel Younger is urging California to avoid legalizing Nevada-style casino gambling and says the state should not touch off-track betting, off-track betting with a 10-foot pole. Stock market report is next. Off to San Jose we go to Dean Witter and Company and Robert Harrington.
Strikes are very much in the news today, including the copper strike. You've probably heard the old stock market axiom, never sell on strike news. Well, we saw that axiom in play today as the employees of the two biggest copper companies walked out and their stock prices went up. The two companies, Kennecott and Phillips Dodge, each gained an eighth of a point today on their strike news. There was no strike today on the New York Stock Exchange, just a quiet session as we approach the long 4th of July weekend. Today's Dow Jones Industrial Average moved just a fraction less than 2 points higher on slowly shrinking 13 million shares of volume. An average New York Stock Exchange share moved just a buffalo nickel higher. And that's better than a wooden nickel, Mike.
Right. Lon Simmons Sports coming right up after Warren tells you all about the weather.
The prospects for fine weather over the upcoming 4th of July weekend continue to be excellent. Skies are completely clear now over Northern California, with the exception of the coast where a little fog continues to hang around. The long-range forecast calls for continued fair skies except for the coastal fog. Temperatures along the coast in the low 60s, ranging up into the 80s in the interior valleys.
Today's Mike Powell Report has been brought to you by the 15 Bay Area branches of the Hibernia Bank. When that other bank forgets your name, remember them, the people at Hibernia.
This is a special message for people who really love to cook interesting dishes for their families and friends. Now you can get the kind of a cookbook you've always wanted, the one you'll really use. Because right now, Standard Stations and participating Chevron dealers are offering you the Complete Family Cookbook, first made popular as the California Bicentennial Cookbook, in weekly sections. This amazing cookbook contains over 450 pages of exciting, yet economical, easy-to-fix recipes, plus cooking charts, timetables, and menu suggestions. Stop at your Standard Station or Chevron dealer. Get a new section each week for the suggested retail price of just 15 cents each with an 8-gallon purchase. Also available is a deluxe 3-ring binder with index and dividers for only $1.99, suggested retail price plus tax. Get the Complete Family Cookbook. It's the one you'll use.
If you haven't already started collecting weekly sections to this amazing cookbook, it's not too late. Your dealer has a supply of all sections offered so far.
5:45, time for the Lon Simmons Sports Roundup, brought to you by Chevrolet, who also brings you an idea you can live with. Before you drive, buckle your seat and shoulder belts. The Giants and Cardinals unloaded their hitters at Candlestick this afternoon, and when it was over, the Giants had started this month with a victory. Here's Lon with the baseball details.
San Francisco Giants bounced back from a disheartening defeat at the hands of the San Diego Padres last night to edge the St. Louis Cardinals 8-7 in a ball game that you might expect after a club gets in at about 2 o'clock in the morning and has to come out to the ballpark for a day game. It was a rather crazily played ball game by both ball clubs. There was very little pitching until the relievers came on, and there was quite a bit of hitting. The Giants winning 8-7, out-hitting the Cardinals 15-14, and parlaying a 6-run second inning into the win. Although, even though they scored 6 times in the second inning, they still had to come back with 2 runs in the sixth to break a 6-all tie and win it. Then, Jerry Johnson weathered a storm in the ninth inning, getting Matty Alou as a pinch batter to pop out for the final out and save the win for Don McMahon. The Giants used 5 pitchers, Bryant, the starter, Robertson, McMahon, Hamilton, and Johnson, and the Cardinals used 4. Santorini, the starter, Zachary, the loser, Drabowski, and Shaw. The Cardinals got 2 runs in the first inning when Bryant, with a streak of wildness, walked 2 men with 1 out, and Torrey bounded into what looked like a double play, but it turned out not to be. The Giants got just 1 on a throwing error by Fuentes at second base, allowed a run to score and opened the way for one more when Cardinal followed with a single to drive in the second run of the inning. Then the Giants sent 12 men to the plate against Santorini and Zachary in the second inning to score six times as they got singles by Healy and Goodson and Wicker and Bryant, a walk to Spire, a double by Fuentes, Henderson hit by a pitch, and Bond singled to score the sixth time. But the Cardinals kept coming back. They got two more runs off Bryant in the third on doubles by Cardinal and Jose Cruz and a single by Jerry McNerney. They picked up another run on Joe Torre's home run in the fifth, got another one on Lou Brock's home run in the sixth that tied it. Then the Giants won it in the bottom of the sixth. It's Hal Lanier batting for the first time. He'd come into the game when Charlie Fox made two changes as he made a pitching change and sent Lanier to third. Lanier singled. Spire lined out, but Fuentes singled. Henderson singled, and Bonds doubled. And the Giants had the two runs that stood up for the win, 8-7. McMahon, the winner in relief, 6-3. Zachary, the loser in relief, 2-6. Eight runs, 15 hits, two errors for the Giants, 7-14-0 for the Cardinals. The same clubs meet tomorrow night at Candlestick Park at 8 o'clock. Bob Gibson for St. Louis, Steve Stone for the Giants. The final again from Candlestick. The Giants won it 8-7 in a wild afternoon affair between the Giants and Cards.
This is just for you driving station wagons, okay? We'll get to you others a little later. We've watched you big wagon owners try to open your tailgate door with a trailer hooked on. No way, eh? And try to unload your wagon in a closed garage. There was that door again, in the way. And then we caught you having to squeeze boxes through the rear window in bumper-to-bumper parking. Remember? You couldn't get the door open. Some of those times we even heard you. But understandable. Well, Chevrolet has changed all that. Our big wagon's tailgate vanishes. The window into the roof, the door under the floor. Imagine, a tailgate that gets out of your way. But if a big wagon isn't for you, our mid-size walk-in wagon has a dual-action tailgate that drops down like a tailgate or swings aside like a door. But see your Chevrolet dealer. Right now, he can deliver your wagon your way. Chevrolet makes more different kinds of wagons than anybody. For everybody. Wagons your way.
A couple of other ball games during the day today. The Atlanta Braves scored four times in the top of the ninth to break a three-all tie and beat the Montreal Expos 7-3. The big hits in the four-run rally, a single by Felix Mayon that got the Braves the go-ahead run. Then a triple by Ralph Garr that plated two more and a double by Mike Lum to cap the inning. Garr's triple helped him atone for an error in the eighth that had allowed the Expos to tie the ball game at that point. The only homer of the game was hit by Bob Bailey. It was his ninth, gave the Expos an early 1-0 lead, came in the second inning. Garr had two triples in the game for the Braves as he wound up with a 4-for-5 day, three runs batted in. And the Pittsburgh Pirates waited out three separate rain delays, and when their day at the ballpark had ended, they had a 3-0 shutout over the New York Mets, their closest pursuer. The game was of major importance because it gave the Pirates a three-game division lead over the Mets instead of one. Today's contest was held up by thunderstorms three times for a total of an hour and 11 minutes. Doc Ellis got his 13th victory, although he went just five innings. He left the game following the second rain delay, and Jim Nelson, Nelson Bryles, and Dave Justy followed, or rather allowed three hits over the final four innings after following Ellis. It was the 10th consecutive win for Ellis, who has lost only three times. The Oakland A's left town on a slightly sour note. They lost two of three games to Minnesota to close out their homestand, but it still didn't do too much damage to the division lead, which is still that hefty 10 games over Kansas City. The A's open a four-game series with the California Angels tomorrow night. Those four games and three against Chicago make up the A's road trip. Oakland has today off. Kansas City is playing California, which gives the Royals a chance to make up another half game on Oakland. Most of the A's are welcoming this day away from the ballpark. They've had 13 games in 14 days, and also the possibility of the club becoming a little bit complacent because of its big division lead. Plus that, shortstop Cappy Campanaris twisted an ankle last night, and he had to be helped from the field. This day off might benefit him most, although he still may be forced to miss a couple of games. Turning to tennis now, Tom Gorman's string of upsets at Wimbledon came to a close in today's semifinals. But it was as much a bad back as the strength of Stan Smith that allowed Smith a victory and ended Gorman's hopes. Gorman has been troubled by a back problem for many years. It got worse after he beat Rod Laver in the quarterfinals in one of his major upsets. And before today's match with Smith,
Officials consulted with Gorman to see if he could play at all. Now, Gorman insisted on going through with the match, and Smith didn't have too much trouble winning. Gorman said the only thing his back prevented him from doing was hitting the ball with any power.
I don't think I'd really call it a pain, but it was just a little restriction. I had trouble moving from side to side, and because of that, I was about a half a step behind. A lot on the volleys and a lot on the service returns, especially going wide to my forehand.
Smith, becoming the first American in the final since 1966, summed up his victory thusly.
After I lost my serve in the second set, I thought that possibly his back was really loosening up, and he was just, it didn't bother him at some times, and other times it bothered him. And so I thought that he played a great game to break serve. I didn't play too poorly, I didn't think. So it made it, 5-all, I think, in the second set. So at that point, I was a little worried. But after I got the second set, I felt that I was in pretty good shape.
Smith will be meeting defending Wimbledon champ John Newcomb, who had no trouble at all, ending Ken Rosewall's hopes of finally winning this particular title. Newcomb didn't even work up a sweat as he beat Rosewall in 3 straight sets. Newcomb talked about the way he played it against Rosewall.
Kenny had the long match the other day.
Yeah.
So even if his muscles had recovered, so, you know, back to their normal capacity, I think it was a big mental strain to have to go through, you know, 4 hours out there. So my idea was to keep on top of him all the time and to keep pressing him every chance I got, so that to keep this mental pressure on him, like of someone pushing you all the time. And I figured if I could keep that pressure on him, well, I'd you know, be able to win.
So Smith is now in a position to become the first American winner at Wimbledon since Chuck McKinley's success in 1963. Dennis Ralston was the finalist in 66, but he lost out that year. Rosewall's loss today probably was his last chance at winning the title at Wimbledon. He's indicated that this year would be his last charge there, and he had lost previously 3 times in title matches, but his effort today wasn't reminiscent of those others. The United States will also have finalists in the women's doubles, as Rosie Casals and Billie Jean King got to the final round by whipping Gail Chanfroy and Françoise Dürr. The women's singles finals are scheduled for tomorrow. Margaret Court against Yvonne Goolagong.
We at Chevrolet call Chevelle a lot of car. For good reasons. We put a lot of things into it. More, in fact, than other cars at its price. Full coil suspension, for one. A big coil spring at every wheel. It's tough on bumps. Easy on you. There are inner fenders that help protect the outer fenders. The fuel evaporation control system helps keep excess fumes from getting in the air. A rugged steel beam built into each door to give added protection. And our anti-theft steering lock. Your front wheels can't turn until it's unlocked. That's just 5 things. We could talk about Body by Fisher and the rest. But we think the point is made. Chevelle is a lot of car. And you said so, too, by making it America's most popular mid-sized car. By the way, it's at your Chevy dealers now. And here's an idea you can live with from Chevrolet. Buckle both your seat and shoulder belts.
Tim Anderson, the 49ers' first-round draft pick from Ohio State, is apparently getting some advice these days that may force him to play his football somewhere else than the National Football League this season. Anderson and his agent, a fellow named Tony Rosano, are unhappy over the deal being offered by the 49ers. It's reportedly a 3-year contract that'll bring Anderson as much as $80,000 for 3 years, including a $20,000 bonus for signing. Anderson, or at least his agent, says that isn't enough. There's apparently been a breakdown in communications between Rosano and the 49ers, and the player and his agent have taken their case, of all places, to Sports Illustrated magazine. Rosano says he's unable to talk with the 49er general manager, Jack White. He's also accusing the Niners of being too cheap to return his long-distance phone calls. And Rosano is demanding that the 49ers negotiate only with him and not include Anderson in the talks. Well, that's not 49er policy, nor is it the policy of many other pro football teams. So Rosano and Anderson are threatening to play in Canada, a place they investigated just last week. Even though Anderson was a first-round draft pick, it seems a little strange that his agent continues to make higher money demands, especially since Anderson won't be a starter for the 49ers this season. The youngster might do better if he just went ahead and talked with the 49ers himself. Anderson is in a group of Ohio State athletes represented by Rosano, and only John Brockington has been announced as signing a contract so far. The United States track team ready to take on the Russians in a World All-Star group starting tomorrow at Edwards Stadium. is voicing confidence that it will be victorious. As a matter of fact, Coach Dave Maggard says his team became even more united when it was learned that the likes of Marty LaQuarrie, Ralph Mann, John Smith, George Friend, all decided to pass up bids to represent the United States in favor of some international meets. The series stands 7-2 for the United States men, but Russia has won its two over the last three meetings. U.S. girls are down in the standings 1-8 against the Russian gals. The American team is expected to be led by sprinter Dr. Delano Merriweather and hurdler Ron Milburn, both of them victorious in the AAU championships last week. Jerry Lindgren, Randy Matson, Steve Prefontaine, also names that should rack up points for this country. Meet officials announced that some tickets for both tomorrow and Saturday are still available. They'll be sold at Edwards Stadium tomorrow. San Jose's Rod Funseth is among a group of four golfers who shot 5-under par 67s for the joint lead after the first round of the Canadian Open. Redding's Rod Curl, one stroke off the pace at 68. Arnold Palmer had a 69. Gary Player and Lee Trevino are both in at 73. A record gallery of over 12,000 turned out to see the first round and to celebrate Canada Day. You know, it's a little hard to conceive of a basketball game right in the middle of the baseball season, but that's going to be the case tonight when the annual North-South High School Extravaganza takes place at the Oakland Coliseum Arena. 22 of the best high schoolers from both ends of the state will take the court at 8 o'clock in this charity contest. In fact, 17 of those participating in the game are high school All-Americans. The North squad has the height advantage thanks to Rich Kelly, a 7'1 center from Woodside, and Berkeley's John Lambert, 6'10 and a half pivot man. Lambert won't be in the starting lineup because he has missed some of the practice drills while recovering from the measles. But along with the height, the North will also feature Lowell's Mark Gilbert, and if he is having one of his normal games, his playmaking antics should give the South fits and the fans a lot of pleasure. The South will have an advantage at forwards with a pair of 6'7 frontliners, and one of them is Bill Boyd, son of USC basketball coach Bob Boyd. So it's tonight at 8 o'clock at the Oakland Arena, the North-South High School Basketball Classic. A couple of other items. San Diego Chargers signed their number one draft pick today. Back Leon Burns agreeing to terms. He's the power back who got his start at Laney over in Oakland. Six of the Dallas Cowboy veterans and running back Dwayne Thomas apparently unhappy with their terms. They're still unsigned, and they're scheduled, the Cowboys are, to open training camp in 8 days. Some of the others, Craig Morton, Chuck Howley, Mel Renfro, Walt Garrison, and Jethro Pugh. Joe Schmidt, in the final year of a 5-year contract, has been given a new setup with the Lions. A new 3-year pact that calls for a self-renewal clause, which means if, after each year, Schmidt and the owners are happy, then 1 year will be added onto the contract. That's it for tonight. Bob Hanson for Lon Simmons. The Lon Simmons Sports Roundup has been brought to you by Chevrolet, who also brings you an idea you can live with. Before you drive, buckle your seat and shoulder belts. And listen every night at 5:45 for the latest news in sports.
Bill's Dahl is telling all America about the wonders of lightly smoked, hand-packed sardines from Norway and of the great convenience of sardines from Norway during the summer as a quick snack on bread, crackers, and salads. We said not too many people will understand Norwegian, Nils, and he said it didn't matter, he just wanted to get on American radio. Nils says that's an old Norwegian sardine joke, and he hopes you laugh too.
KSFO in San Francisco.
This is KSFO News. Several labor disputes are plaguing the Bay Area and Northern California. Thousands of striking longshoremen have shut down West Coast ports for the first time since 1923 in a dispute over wages and another contract. Copper workers and carpenters are on strike, and there are still no buses running from the downtown terminal in San Francisco to the airport due to a driver's strike. Half of Mill Valley's 80 city employees are on strike in a dispute with the city council over the conduct of negotiations. The walkout doesn't include firemen, policemen, safety personnel, or department heads. On the brighter side, contracts with 8,000 shipyard workers in San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle expired at midnight, but workers are on the job while talks continue. A tentative settlement has averted a strike of bus drivers against the Alameda Contra Costa Transit District and a strike by city employees averted in Berkeley. A vote is due tomorrow morning on a compromise state budget finally agreed on this afternoon. The size of the measure isn't being announced, but observers say it's sure to top $7 billion. The Golden Gate Bridge has burned the mortgage, doing so symbolically this morning by presenting the Bank of America with a check for $2,860,000, retiring the last of the general obligation bonds issued to finance construction of the bridge, which opened in May of 1937. The Viet Cong is promising that all U.S. prisoners and fighting men can be home by Christmas if President Nixon accepts their new seven-point peace plan. The plan requires the United States to set a deadline for a full withdrawal from South Vietnam before the end of the year. In Washington, the Nixon administration says they find new elements, some positive and others unacceptable, in the communist proposal. Presidential News Secretary Ron Ziegler says the proposal is under careful study and that the U.S. delegation will probably respond soon. The White House is ordering an investigation of an unauthorized American air raid on North Vietnam. Military sources in Saigon say 19 U.S. planes struck a suspected communist rocket site north of the demilitarized zone. More news in a moment.
Make money, make money. Sound like double talk? Could be the safest, soundest financial advice you've ever heard. You see, it's an unalterable fact that there's no place better for making money make money than San Francisco Federal Savings. Money working with us makes more than money in a bank. 5% on passbook accounts, 6% on two-year certificates of $5,000 up. That's the highest paid anywhere on insured savings. For your extra protection, San Francisco Federal Savings maintains reserves over 70% above federal requirements and invests only in the highest quality first mortgage real estate loans. That's our famous extra margin of safety. Think it over. You've been working hard. Now make your money make money.
San Francisco Federal has 11 Bay Area offices, 5 in San Francisco, plus offices in Berkeley, Los Altos, Sorrento, Palo Alto, San Jose, and Santa Rosa. On Wall Street today, the market scored its third consecutive gain. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up nearly 2 points. Six major oil companies have formed a nonprofit corporation called Clean Bay Incorporated to combat oil spills in San Francisco Bay and along the Pacific Coast. Forrest Smith, assistant superintendent of Standard Oil's Richmond refinery, was named manager of the new corporation. Smith had a principal role in cleaning up the oil spill that resulted from the January collision of two Standard Oil tankers in the bay. The local weather forecast calls for fair skies through Saturday, except for the usual fog along the coast extending inland tomorrow morning. Overnight temperatures in the 50s, tomorrow's highs in the 60s along the coast through the 70s inland. In the Sierra, fair and warmer through Saturday. And that's KSFO News. Herb Kennedy reporting. KSFO News is everywhere. And now a special report from Larry Digg.
By the latter half of the 18th century, the American Indian had been squeezed onto tiny reservations, which were more like prisons when you consider the extremely hostile society around him and the fact that he was once free to roam both the North and South American continents if he wished. But the treachery of the white man did not stop there. It seemed that the white man was determined to take every square inch of land, treaties or no treaties.
Up to 1870 or 80, something like that, the Indians lost the land through conquest largely. They sometimes made treaties and they sometimes didn't, but military force was the main thing. Between about 1880 and 1935, they lost a vast amount of land through acts of Congress, just taking it away from them.
Richard Collins, one of the attorneys for the California American Indians, went on to give an example of how Congress went about stealing land from the Indians.
The biggest legal method was the so-called Dawes Act, D-A-W-E-S. Passed in 1887, and then a lot of auxiliary laws were passed between 1887 and 1920. And the theory of the Dawes Act was that we had to civilize the Indian by making him a farmer, and because that was the only civilized thing to be, of course. And so we will take each reservation and we'll count the Indian families and we'll give each one an allotment to farm. It's big enough for him to farm. and then we'll just give all the rest of the land to home flight homesteaders because the Indians don't need it.
Richard then explained how the screwdriver of the Dawes Act worked.
They pass out the land to the Indians as farmers, and after 25 years, the Indians could sell it. And the Indians weren't farmers. They didn't know how to farm, with the exception of those Indians who historically had been farmers. Most Indians had not been farmers. The government didn't provide them with any assist in farming, like giving them tools and training in farming. They just said, this is your farm. Go at it, for the most part. And so that was a failure.
If history teaches us anything, it was probably meant to be a failure, because three-fourths of the land that the Indians were left with after the fighting had ceased was taken away by acts of Congress. And don't forget the tricky land speculators. They are still at work. As I said yesterday, the question really isn't a legal one, but rather a moral one. Tomorrow, we will deal with the morality of our attitude toward the American Indian. Can you dig it? This is Larry Diggs.